This is CliffCentral.com.
Adrian Groenewald, this is the Leadership Transformation Platform from 12 to 3. And we're into the last hour, and we kick off with a transformation platform conversation. We need transformation to happen in our country, in the world. And it's not just our local transformation, it's global transformation. There's so much happening, but certainly corporates must come to the table. And here seems to be one, P&G. We've got in the studio Nokwazi Mzobi and Kululiwe Mabaso. These two ladies are somehow involved with the P&G Leadership College, as they call it. So welcome, ladies. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Who's who?
I'm Kululiwe Mabaso. Okay. You can just say Kulu.
Kulu.
And I'm Nokwazi.
Okay, just checking because we spoke via phone and you know you see pictures sort of, but you just want to know who's who. We have Alison Yandu and Richard Angus in the studio running the transformation platform. All right, so here we are. This college called, is it right? P&G Leadership College.
Yes, that's correct.
Interesting, it's not called Business College.
No.
Or P&G SME College or SMME College. Why Leadership College? I mean, we're into leadership here, so we really want to know.
Yeah, I think it's one, it's more what is P&G's strength? So that's where it started. And we said P&G is a company of leaders, whether it's be leadership in brands or actually creating people who become leaders of the Fortune 500 companies.
Starting with their small businesses.
Yeah, starting with their small businesses. And we said, how can we then take this leadership part into entrepreneurs who need leadership in order for them to lead their business? Hence, it's called the P&G Leadership College.
A little bit more visionary, I think, just not just an SME. So you're recognizing by default that even if you run a small business, you're a leader now or leader in the making.
Mm-hmm. You are a leader and it's either you leading yourself to become the best entrepreneur or you're going to lead people in a business. So I guess in a world where we're saying everyone should probably stop looking for a job and create jobs and be an entrepreneur, it's more like we're saying wake up the leader within you to do this.
Now, before we move on, let's understand the two ladies here in the studio a little bit more. Kululiwe, tell us your background. Just quickly, how did you end up here at P&G or involved with a college? And then same with Nokwazi. You can tell us about your background. But let's start with Nokwazi. How do you fit in here? Where do you come from? What's your background?
So my background, actually, my first job was at P&G. And I was there for 5 years. And then I moved on to Nokia. And I worked there as an expatriate in Kenya. And I took a break. And I decided to do my master's in entrepreneurship and innovation. I did that in Boston. And I came back to SA. And I couldn't get myself to go back to work, so I took time
into corporate. Then,
into
really,
corporate,
you say.
Yes.
That's not real work.
Yeah,
I mean, we understand that. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, some career comments. Yeah.
I have no career limiting moves here. I can do that. No. Kidding aside. Okay. And
yes.
You decided to go more.
So I decided to actually volunteer. I had all these skills, so I volunteered at the Gibbs 10,000 Women Program. And it was literally from the volunteering that I was getting there and working with the entrepreneurs, I saw an opportunity to manage and help entrepreneurs grow. So it was actually the entrepreneurs who actually convinced me to formalize what I'm doing. And that's how I then started Matoyana, which is a boutique consulting firm that works with entrepreneurs in a number of different ways. So I do a lot of work at the Gibbs Enterprise Academy. I focus mainly on business modeling, and I do workshops there. And then the relationship I have now with Procter & Gamble, helping them design and conceptualize the college and also implement it. And then I do a number of other things within the consulting firm.
All right. So they pulled you back in there. I guess your background with Procter & Gamble helped and your incredible background. And then together you started this college.
Yes.
To cater for the enterprise development part of Triple BEE.
Yes.
All right. Okay, that's a fantastic background. And did you not want to get back into corporate or couldn't you?
I did.
Surely
not
couldn't. Didn't want to.
Funny enough, I was on sabbatical with my previous employer. Yeah. And the positions they were giving to me, and I'd been out of the country for 4 years. So it was either going to Dubai or Finland or somewhere else. And I really wanted to be back in SA. But I couldn't see myself applying for somebody else. So I think for me, I just took this as a chance to really sit and think and decide, you know, what's the next step in my life.
Well, you know, on the fringe.
I think there was God out of Nokia at the right time then.
Clearly.
Who's Nokia, though? I mean,
knowing what's
happened. Who is Nokia? Who is Nokia?
Crazy. I mean, that is just one of the most amazing case studies of. Where was this
obsolescence.
Article?
Obsolescence.
Yeah, this article where the CEO was actually crying, almost saying,
Blackberry, same thing.
Yeah, we did nothing wrong, yet we disappeared somehow. This is the world we're in. And the SMEs that we're building are now in this fast-moving, fast-changing, ever-changing, crazy world that we find ourselves in. All right, Kulu, your background. You're in the corporate.
Yeah, I'm in the corporate.
But you are working, though.
I mean,
it keeps you busy, right?
It keeps me busy, but now it keeps me energized to be working with entrepreneurs at the same time.
Yeah.
So my background, I'm a biotechnologist, but for PNG, I'm more into a transformation manager, call it BE. So I started working with in terms of implementing BE 5 years ago within PNG and really got fixated into how to do enterprise development correctly. So we would get small businesses to get into the business and then come 3-4 months down the line, they are not able to deliver for a big corporate like PNG. Then we said it's time to actually stop and say, how do we build small businesses within PNG, even if they're not providing a service for us, but how do we make them ready?
So were you one of those or the one that went to PNG and said, right, this is what we need to start?
Yeah.
Maybe you didn't at that time conceive a leadership college, but we need to start something more formal. And then we must engage enterprises that eventually become suppliers and we can really build entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
I mean, so tell us how it started.
So how it started, which was more like where would BE fall in within this global, I guess, company where we don't have actually a transformation manager or a position even called transformation manager. So we said...
And you can't fiddle with the ownership structures and all that. So the new codes are really disadvantageous to PNG as a global company.
And you can only do so much of CSI, right? Which is
correct.
Like the social responsibility. So then we said, look, let's bring in the small businesses. And this is more, you know, corporates in are more of how do we get suppliers that are supplying us globally? So which somehow marginalizes the small businesses. But then it was more on how can we then develop the small ones so that in future they are comparable or maybe compatible to the global suppliers that we would have. So it's not that easy actually for small businesses to be competing with global suppliers at the same time. So it was more a question, how can we make it more efficiently and how do we make it more sustainable and for it to work? And I think this is where working with Nogwaz is someone who's, look, Nogwaz, you understand PNG, you understand entrepreneurship. Yeah, the people that we currently have on the list who want to work with PNG, how can we make it work?
So on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being absolute heart into this because corporates must comply. All right? So 1 being it's just a compliance thing. We just have to tick the box on triple BE and enterprise development, supply development.
Mm-hmm.
And 10 being our heart is in this as a business. We've really discovered that this is part of who we are. It's part of the country. It's part of transformation. We're social, what do you call it? Social citizens. Mm-hmm. Where would you place PNG? I know I probably will never be able to check if you're speaking the full truth and nothing but the truth. But where would you say, in all honesty, did it start more towards the one and it's migrated more towards the healthier side of the scale? Where would PNG sit on that?
No, I think it more sits, like I would say, on an 8 to a 10, and the 2 really being this ownership, right? So it's an 8 in terms of 1, looking at just the people factor. When we hire people, it's more like how can we match the demographics of the country? So we need to represent reselling brands to the so within the demographic. So if you have 90% or whatever in terms of black or ethnic, you need to have that stuff represented like working for PNG in order for you to sell your brands correctly and effectively. So in most of the things that we do, or when you look at employment equity, whether you look at social sustainability or supplier development, was the biggest one which had a gap. The rest were fine, and then ownership obviously being a key one, which is a struggle.
Okay, so where's your heart on now the enterprise development?
10.
Okay, that's you speaking.
Yeah, that's me speaking. So I think it's more 10. And the question is how do we not make it a textbook, but really make it to be ingrained within PNG? So there was an option of how can we send or even fund people to go to an institute where they would be taught, or how can we really bring them inside for us to even learn what are the day-to-day challenges so that we can understand them better, then move forward with them.
All right, how does this college function? Tell us practically how it works. How does the funnel work? How do you get enterprises in? into it? What do you do inside? And afterwards, what do you do? You know, because I think that the intention can be so good in developing enterprises. We can have them in the classroom. They can come and attend brilliant conversations around finance management and marketing. In the meantime, they are the sole business back there. Yes. They are the ones who must be out on the field, in the car, knocking on doors. So sometimes these things can be a tick box exercise, you know, these curriculums that we chuck at the little SME owners. But tell us about this initiative. How does it work?
So I think from my experience with other programs, what I did quite differently is that, of course, we had a small group. We had quite an in-depth business diagnostic to really understand where are the issues in the business. So
the first thing is you find SMEs or enterprises. You do a proper diagnostic on them, and because you can, because it's a small group.
Yes.
How do you find them? Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, where do you find them, or how did you find them?
Because they're not suppliers.
No, yes. So most of them, like Lulo or maybe like Shalati, are people who actually came and approached PNG and said, can I work with you? And at the time, there was no opportunity, but looking at the intent, like the what they were presenting at the time, we said, look, there's nothing, but let's see how we can work with you.
Okay.
Yes.
That's great. Partnership approach.
Yeah.
And there were two others who were already smaller suppliers of PNG.
Yeah, within
already the PNG value chain. Yes.
Yeah, which is fine. Then it's not enterprise development funding, but supplier development, eh?
Yes, it's a combination of both. Yes.
All right. Okay, tell us about this.
So we started off with a business diagnostic, really getting to understand them and understand their businesses. And then from there...
Who does that? Does experts from PNG go into their business? Do you actually have yourself go and do the diagnostic?
So it was myself. I created a diagnostic. I met with all the entrepreneurs, had quite a conversation with them. And then from there, that's when we sat with Kulu to design the actual program in terms of how it would work. It is a lot of classroom sessions, but what we did specifically is that before calling in either PNG staff to run a particular session or an external person, I would sit, look through their diagnostic and say, these were the issues we understood within finance. So instead of somebody coming in and saying, I'm going to teach cash flow and profit and loss and this, we really sat down and we customized. So we had a session around pricing. We had a session around budgeting and getting them to do it practically within class. Also,
we're bringing their own budget along or their own scenario.
So we asked them to bring some of their stuff along, but most of the time, because some of them actually had never really done a budget, we actually just had to teach them how to put together the budget and where do you even start.
I'll be there if you tell me when you're running the course.
Yes.
I was going to say, I can relate to this. I've spent some time facilitating with USB Ed, and I figured out really quickly at the new manager sort of level that people don't understand almost, let's call it just the basic fundamentals of how things move through a business model.
Yes.
And I started, we call it the Apple story, and everybody immediately goes, okay, so we're talking about iPhones and iPads and everything. And I arrive at class with red apples and green apples. And I make these guys buy and sell apples for about an hour in the class and understanding the economics of how this works. And you'd be amazed at how something as simple as that, with different role players, a farmer, a wholesaler, a retailer, and they stop role playing and they realize the importance of, I mean, something as simple, and I run the simulation and I say to them, okay, you've got 3 minutes to buy and sell apples all the way from the farmer all the way through to the end user. And I simulate a day in 3 minutes, and I put them under pressure, and now they have to start making pricing decisions in 3 minutes. And before long, somebody goes bankrupt. I put some money into the system, and somewhere along the line, somebody goes bankrupt because they're so busy buying and selling that they don't check their cash flow, and the next minute, whoops, I've got to buy apples, but I don't have cash.
But this is what happens in real life. Yes.
Exactly. And the biggest learnings that people have in these sort of classroom sessions and the likes is they realize that they actually don't have a basic understanding of some of the things. And we start talking about, let's go and have a presentation on cash flow and a presentation on this. But actually the basic fundamentals are missing.
Yes.
Okay, and you think your program is bringing that? Your diagnostic helps? It's not a fancy diagnostic, is it?
No, it was not a fancy diagnostic. It was like I aggregated a couple of things and also then sat and just saw what would be needed. But I think you've mentioned two great points. The one thing that I did is that the foundation also of the program is around the business model canvas, which really says, starts off with, who's your customer segment? What value proposition do you have? Because I found that a lot of the businesses, there's a lot of create a business plan, but people don't know the engine. They don't know how it works and how all the compartments come together. So we actually started off with getting them to map out their business model. A lot of them had never mapped it out. I mean, we have a lady who's been running her business for 12 years. She'd never fully mapped out her business model.
We had a conversation about business model a week or two ago.
Yeah, with Mike Gee on our show.
We've had a few conversations about
yes. Yeah.
Business modeling and how to make it more sustainable, that sort
yes.
of thing.
Yes. Yeah. So starting from that point, and then that's how we then added the other elements. What is also interesting in terms of simulation and active learning, we actually had a simulation in one of the sessions where we brought a guy came in and actually ran a simulation with the businesses. And it was interesting to see the learnings afterwards when they're like, actually, I didn't realize that I needed to understand, this type of expense or that this cost would actually go there. And they're like, but I've never done that for my business. So, for us, it was less about making it a session where you come in and somebody lectures and you step out. And it was really trying to focus on the practicalities of running the business.
All right. And then you had someone like our previous guest. I mean, she's such a fabulous person. I just want to get her name right.
Shalati.
Yeah. Yes. Tefo. Different business model there. So again, I guess you realize that.
Yes.
This is not just a little restaurant or a supplier. I mean, what kind of supplier could she become to your business? Kulu? No, not
CSI.
It's quite a lot. Mm. I mean, one, it's an extension of the enterprise development itself because she wants to train the youth. So what we are looking at now is how then can we get this content to be made relevant and for her to be able to train more people for them to get the same value of training that she got that is helping her. And then the second part is she has like a heart as well for social sustainability, which is like caring for girls. Mm. So how do we then help her to ensure that she runs like this CSI type when caring for girls, whether it's giving them sanitary towels, but in a way that is more sustainable? How would she help the girls to actually raise money for that so that it does not create dependency at the same time? Okay. So there's quite a lot, I mean, of things that we are trying to see in terms of what we can work on.
But she too, I mean, is in a space of what would eventually be your future customers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's how companies grow their own team, so to speak. Question for you, Kulu. Why is it that I'm only hearing about the college today? I've never heard about the college. I was editing the country's largest financial newspaper. Never heard about the college. Is it because it's 2 weeks old or what?
No, it's been almost a year now. I think it's one of those things. At times, it's great to talk about things, but also it's great to talk about them when you finally understand them and you've learned from them. So most, I think, of the time that we've used is more learning because we understood that things change. Like even for us, the size of the classroom, when we started, we had so many people, but then they became less. But what we had learned from that in terms of why people drop out is going to actually now help us. And we are more at a stage of saying that how can we share the learnings that we had for other corporates to actually incorporate this type of call it college or knowledge sharing with the entrepreneurs that they had. I think you've never heard of it because we were still learning.
Okay. So do you have national reach? I mean, can anyone from anywhere come through the college? And where is it physically?
So the college is in the offices, in the PNG offices. So it's ran inside the PNG offices. But it's
small. It's not. You don't have a massive college at this stage. You've created the concept. You're starting with quality rather than quantity.
Mm-hmm.
And the big question is also, to what extent do you want to expand? You also don't want to make promises to these small entities that you're going to become a supplier to us or a designer or whatever, and then it doesn't happen. I know Pick and Pay is also struggling with that scenario where they've got like 72 or something entrepreneurs they're not training, and that'll go through to a smaller group of can't remember, 10 or 20.
Eventually, gets whittled down.
They get whittled down to 7 or 8 that will have their products on their shelves.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going through that process now, aren't you?
We're going through that process, but I think also we've also identified some channels in terms of, for example, working with Busi from BSK and even Shalat in terms of how do we extend outside of the PNG office, but how do you then create, take the model that Nogwazi has created and say, let's share it. We even starting to talk about how do we make the trainings in Zulu and yes. other languages, and but in a way that people would understand them. So we work with brands, I think, that touch like different people. Like we have like a women's group that we work with. So one of the things, the next piece now would be to unfold it and say, how do we work with them and how can we spread it even outside of the classroom? But I think what is more important is making it relevant and practical for them as well.
I mean, if I interject there, sorry. This weekend, part of the PNG Leadership College was me. I went and spoke to 20 women who run a stockpile in Soweto. And the whole idea is that how do we get them to start thinking beyond just circulating the money? And they were one of the big bulk buyers of some product. And then I came in for 45 minutes to get them to start thinking about the PNG Leadership College. And it was the Busi, Mambusi, who's one of the college delegates, who actually asked me to come in. And so with that as well, the whole idea is that how do we do it through collaboration?
Mm.
So Shalat is already in 11 Hope Bush within a certain community. How can the PNG Leadership College partner with them so we can reach unemployed youth who want to start their own businesses? Yeah.
Okay, but also we had this guy from Mamelodi Biz, for example. Fantastic what he's doing in Mamelodi. So he's access to possible entrepreneurs. We've got to collaborate. This is why we also have you in here. How do we collaborate from this medium to what you're doing?
And I think just to an earlier comment that's critical is we've got to be able to take your learnings of PNG and figure out how you almost control C, control V, cut and paste this into other corporate environments, because my experience is often corporates are faced with two challenges to the question of, you know, is this just compliance or is their heart in it? Well, they may have their heart in it, but the problem is they don't know what to do and they don't know how to do it. And sometimes they just don't have the resources available to get it all to happen. It seems like this massive task, and they don't have the, you know, person that they can say, okay, you know, could go off and do this for us, and they don't know how to start this, and then it just kind of, it's on the agenda, and it just kind of always ends up at the bottom of the agenda and just below general, you know.
Well, that's the power of having Nogwazi as an outside consultant. So you would then consult with other businesses with experience having done it in this organization, which is a big brand, Procter & Gamble.
Yes.
So I guess that's something it's a skill set that you've now acquired.
But I what I'm suggesting is that, you know, part of the let's call it the Procter & Gamble, you know, preaching needs to be one of, guys, this is our learnings, this is how we did it, and you need to engage in platforms where you can actually share your learning, because ultimately this is not a big, this doesn't need to be a big secret,
you know, it's not
as a country we need this to happen across the corporate space. We need as many people as possible engaging here.
We don't have to be selfish on this one.
Yeah. Share.
No competition.
Yeah, it's not a competitive thing.
Let's round up. Last question.
So I want to follow up with Nogwazi. You said you met these women in Soweto. So it must have been a very lively conversation and presentation and everything else. So where does this knowledge that you're developing leave? In other words, where can one access it? Have you come up with a model mechanism? Because I'm a content guy, and, you know, I'm thinking, you know, there should be a video for something like that, which then I can access.
You're asking the right questions now.
Yeah. So, we can talk after the show.
So, actually, I've created a small business handbook. So, in a sense, I'm also a small business. And so, PNG working with me has also been about growing me and allowing me to do things that I probably wouldn't have been able to do by myself.
Of course, you're getting Enterprise Development Fund as a small business.
And she's a woman, right? So,
ticking all the boxes.
Become a supplier to them?
Yes.
Yeah, we understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I had a vision to write a book, and you know, part of that is then within the discussion, Kulu's like, when, how can we then write this book and share it within the college. So we've actually just finished the book. It's called The Small Business Handbook, okay. Sponsored by PNG. I wrote most of it and also collaborated with some other people. Right. And the idea is, how then do we get that out to more people?
All right, and we'll do that. Thank you so much for joining us, Nokwazi Mzobi and Kululiwe Mambaso from PNG Leadership College.
Leadership College.
All right, and more. We look forward to having you back. We look forward to engaging you off air. Alice, we will see how do we collaborate? How do we make this work broader in our society that needs it so desperately? I'm Adrian Groenewald, and with me, Richard Angus. Thank you for staying with us all the way. And Alice Nyandu, as always.
Welcome.
And next up, our leadership and education, the last half hour. Leadership and education. We're talking about bullying. I never had that experience because I did karate and I had my black belt. And so I never went through it, but it's a big issue in schools. And how do leaders deal with it? How do they stop bullying from happening in our society? We've got a real expert in the studio. Stay with us.
This is CliffCentral.com.